Welcome to Reach For It Radio Show with your host, Christina Winslow. This program offers entertainment, inspiration, and fun as we feature practical tools to help you achieve what is actually possible. Learn new ways to reach for the stars and attain what you really want out of life. You just might find it is easier than you think. And now, your host, Christina Winslow.
Welcome, everyone. We're so glad you're here today with us. We have a fascinating show and an even more fascinating guest. A lot of us have been, you know, taken off balance a little bit about the world changes and, you know, all of the different systems and structures that we see changing and, you know, things like WikiLeaks and Edward Snowden releasing secret documents. And a lot of the things that we thought were true, we're finding out aren't. And in this time of change, a lot of us seek to look to the experts, to look to prophecies. And today's show is about Nostradamus and some of his prophecies. And we have a special guest, Mario Redding. He was born in Dorset and brought up in England, Germany, and the south of France. He studied comparative literature at the University of East Anglia, where he specialized in French and German literature and translation. He speaks four languages, has lived and worked all over the world, and in recent years has established a worldwide reputation as an original and groundbreaking expert on Nostradamus. He is author of the original best-selling edition of the book we're talking about today, Nostradamus, The Complete Prophecies for the Future, and also Nostradamus, The Good News, and Nostradamus and the Third Antichrist. He is the authority on Nostradamus, and Mario has appeared in a number of documentaries on Nostradamus for, amongst others, the Discovery Channel, the National Geographic Channel, and the History Channel. He was also voted into the top 100 spiritually influential living people by Mind, Body, Spirit magazine, and he's joining us all the way from the UK. Mario, thank you for being with us and welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Christina. It's a pleasure.
Well, I must say, Mario, I love your style of writing because you really bring Nostradamus alive in this era, in this modern era. And so many of us are fascinated by his prophecies. And I wanted to find out from you, Mario, what, you know, to lay the foundation and the groundwork about what led you into this journey of research and study and all the time and investment you have made personally to write these books about Nostradamus.
Well, Christina, as you said at the beginning, when you were very kindly introducing me, I was partially brought up in the south of France. I spent many years there with my parents. And Nostradamus, of course, was born in the south of France. So from a very early age, I was very aware of him without realizing that later on in my life, I might be writing about him. About 15, 20 years ago, a friend of mine was doing a book on Nostradamus, and he found that he couldn't translate from the old French. He asked me to do it, and I thought, this is wonderful. I mean, this is incredible stuff. I would like to do a book of my own. So I approached my publisher, and he said, good, go for it. We'd like a book on all Nostradamus' prophecies for the future. And that's how I got started on it.
That's fascinating how you just, you know, were privy to information at a young age, where a lot of us that live outside of the south of France, you know, we're not as familiar with Nostradamus. And so as a young child, was it almost, you know, setting the stage for your future self as an expert in the topic? I wonder.
Yeah, that's a weird one, but I think it's probably true. I suppose without realizing it, yes, the things that you see and experience as a child later become far more significant. And when you think that actually apart from the Bible, the books of Nostradamus have sold more copies than any other book on earth, one suddenly realizes quite how famous he is.
Well, all of us know who Nostradamus was and what, in that he was an incredible accurate predictor. But who was he as a man, Mario? You know, I feel like the closest thing we can get to Nostradamus is to talking to people like you that have studied and researched. And, you know, who was Nostradamus as the man and the visionary in that you found through your studies?
Well, he was born in 1503, so that's an awfully long time ago, and died in 1566. He was born into a Jewish family, but at the time, the good King René of France, who had been very tolerant towards the Jews of France, died in 1480. And unfortunately, the two kings that came after him weren't as tolerant. And Nostradamus's family, like a lot of other Jewish families in France, were forced to convert to Catholicism. Actually, Nostradamus was a very happy Catholic all his life, but he still had that Jewish knowledge of the Kabbalah and the Talmud and all this, which was very, very important for him. So in a way, he had a leg in two camps. To that extent, he was a very interesting man indeed. He was also an apothecary, and later he became a doctor. He studied at the University of Montpellier in France, and he became specifically a plague doctor. He specialized in helping people survive the plague. In fact, he even invented an extraordinary rose pill, which was designed to help people who had caught the plague. I don't know if it worked, but Nostradamus went around and sold it. Unfortunately, a terrible thing happened to his first wife and children. They died of the plague, and Nostradamus, needless to say, was virtually sued by her family for the return of her dowry. In a way, physician, heal thyself. So that traumatized him a great deal.
So in his era, you know, he had to convert to Catholicism, yet he was working with herbs. He was giving predictions. You know, was there any type of struggle with back in that era of allegations of witchcraft or anything of that nature, since he was kind of in doing some things that at that time were frowned upon with the church and some of the monarchies?
Yes, there was good magic and bad magic. The church sort of accepted good magic, in other words, alchemy, stuff like that. It was the bad magic that the church couldn't stomach. And Nostradamus was very, very careful not to antagonize the Inquisition. Otherwise, he would have been put into prison. Later on in his career, when he became famous, he came under the protection of the Queen of France, Catherine de' Medici, after he had done some extraordinary readings about her husband, who was the king, Henry II. And from the moment that Catherine de' Medici took him under her protection, he was pretty much safe from the Inquisition. He was no longer in danger of getting on the wrong side of these very, very dangerous people indeed.
That's fascinating. And would you, knowing what you have found, you know, researched over the years historically, you know, is there something that you really want people to know about him that, you know, you're not asked about on your documentaries, on the radio show appearances? Are there some things that you would really love for people to know about Nostradamus?
Yes, I think the main thing is that he really thought that history could be changed for the better. That if he was to make these predictions, and the predictions would be published, and people would read them, they might be able to change what was about to happen. I think that was his major driving force, that actually a real change could happen. That's why I wrote one of my books was called Nostradamus, The Good News, because whenever anyone hears about Nostradamus's name, they all reckon, oh God, it's doom and gloom. It's going to be warfare and hell and whatever. And the fact is, he did write a good number of good, positive prophecies. He really wanted people to change, and he thought specifically that he could change the behavior of kings and of leaders. Whether he could or not is another matter. But he really, really desperately felt that.
Well, I love this foundation that we're building, because in the second part of the show, I want to talk about some of the predictions and some of the information in your book. Before we get to that point, Mario, I'm just curious, you know, we do associate a lot of doom and gloom with Nostradamus, and I'm sure if you had a PR agent, that would be a much different way to look at his predictions. But was he a tortured soul? I mean, was that the energy that he was embodying, or was that just the energy of the time?
I think he was a tortured soul after the death of his first wife and children. I think that changed him profoundly. He went on a walkabout, if you like, after that, to discover things about life and whatever that maybe he hadn't discovered before. But then he married again, a lady called Anne Ponsard Gemel, and Gemel comes from the Latin gemellos, which means a twin, so she must have been a twin sister or brother. That was a very happy marriage. And when he started becoming successful, when in 1555 he brought out the first a set of his prophecies, 300-odd prophecies, and they were an unbelievable success. I think he was a pretty satisfied, happy figure. Maybe when he was actually doing the predicting and going through the process of prediction, that might have been quite traumatic. But I think by and large, he died a famous, wealthy, well-respected man.
That's interesting, because you don't really hear about what happened after the fact, after he made his predictions. And can you explain a little bit to the audience about some of the process he went through? I think I had seen that he would use scrying. Is that correct?
Yes, he was a scry. You're absolutely right, Christina. And he would go into a darkened room, and he would have a copper bowl with water in it. And that water would be heavily stained with black ink, so it was opaque. You couldn't see through it. And he would, as far as I can gather from his own writings, because he describes this process quite clearly, he would eat substantial quantities of nutmeg, which was a sort of hallucinogenic, and he would then place hazel wands over the water, and he would stare into the water, probably with a cloth over his head for total control, and he would dictate to his secretary, who would be sitting in the same room with paper and pen, anything that he saw on the surface of the water. So that is scrying, absolutely. That is what a scryer does, and that's the way he would discover his prophecies.
That's interesting. Now, when he was working for Catherine de Medici, and were there any predictions that didn't come true, or was he looking at it more of he was warning them so they could make a course correction?
Yes, I think you're absolutely right, Christina. It was more a course correction, although he did apparently predict the death of Catherine de Medici's husband in a joust. Jousting is when two knights ride at each other with their lances on a formal occasion. And the king, who was a relatively young man, he was still in his early 40s, was a very keen jouster. And there was a major festival in honor of a couple of royal weddings. And the king agreed to a joust with Montgomery, his marshal. And everyone tried to stop him. Nostradamus had warned that this would not be a good idea. The queen tried to stop her husband, but he wouldn't listen. And he broke a first lance with Montgomery and insisted upon having a second go. And on the second joust, Montgomery tried to raise his lance to avoid the king. And the lance, which was wooden, shattered on the king's helmet. And a piece of the lance went into the king's eye and into his head. And he survived for a number of days, but in terrible agony, and finally succumbed after about 10 days.
That's interesting. So during that era, if I am correct, and please correct me if I'm misled, I believe Mary, Queen of Scots, was involved with the French monarchy. back then, and also Queen Elizabeth was rising to power in England.
Absolutely. Mary, Queen of Scots, lived in the French court. In fact, I think her first language was not English, it was French. And when she came back to Scotland, people thought she was a sort of stranger, you know, the way she was very much influenced by French fashions and French sexual mores, very different from the English. And her cousin, Queen Elizabeth I, yes, absolutely. She came onto the throne while Nostradamus was still alive and appeared in some of Nostradamus's prophecies, yes.
Were there, I'm just curious, this is, I'm just really enjoying this interview, and I'm sure the listeners are as well, because you're really bringing history to life, and we will be talking about the future soon. But before we get there, I was just curious, do you think Nostradamus played a part in the French and English? It was the Protestant versus the Catholics back then. Do you think that he did play a part in changing history?
Yes, in some ways, there are an enormous number of prophecies about the French wars of religion, of which there were many. The French, the Protestants in France were called Huguenots, and they fought the Catholics. The Catholics were in the vast majority in France. In fact, probably around about 98% of the French population considered themselves Catholics. But the Huguenots were very influential. And until the terrible massacre of the Huguenots, there was a fair chance that they would get parity with the Catholics, but that wasn't to happen. In England, of course, as we know, Henry VIII, with his six wives, changed history by turning the church from the Church of England from the Catholic Church to the Protestant Church. In France, that didn't happen, and the Catholics won.
That's fascinating. So, Mario, I wanted to ask you this, this book that we're going to talk about today, because you've won awards, you're an international best-selling author, you've written numerous books on Nostradamus. This book in particular that we're talking about today, Nostradamus, The Complete Prophecies for the Future, what really inspired you on this one? What was that one thing that you had to get out to the world through this book?
Well, it's interesting. If you look at Nostradamus's entry on Wikipedia, it says that no Nostradamus quatrain is known to have been interpreted as predicting a specific event before it occurred, other than in vague general terms that could equally apply to any number of other events. Well, I decided that I'd risk that, and I would find all of Nostradamus's quatrains that appeared to refer to the future, and I would put them in a book, which I did in 2006, which was the first edition of this this book of mine. It's come out in three or four editions since, and the new edition is coming out in this year. And I thought I would put myself on the line and put down my ideas of what Nostradamus had said about the future, and allow people to judge after the event. And in the event, quite a few of the ones that I've put down have come true.
Well, I love that, Mario, that you put your neck out and you really took some risks, because so many people play it safe. And I think in this time of change, you know, people like you, the trailblazers and the pioneers that are going out into the unknown, are really helping us as the human, you know, potential growth movement, or the consciousness movement, the truth seekers out there. So thank you for writing this book, Mario. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, Mario Redding is going to tell us about some of his prophecies that he translated from Nostradamus and give us some dates, and we're going to find out about Hillary Clinton and her presidential candidacy. So we will be right back.
I am Sharon Lynn Wyeth, and I have developed a proprietary system that reveals accurate insight into someone's personality traits called Namology Science. This science of unlocking the secrets hidden in a person's name has become so popular that I am offering a Namology Science Coaching Certification Program. Join our international community of certified Namology coaches. Go to knowthename.com for details.
Have you been told you should write a book? Do you need a little help getting started? Or maybe your manuscript is already written and you require some fine-tuning before you publish. Big Country Publishing offers writing coaching packages that are custom-tailored to you. Contact Big Country Publishing today so they can help you to get your book and message out to the world. Learn more at www.bigcountrypublishing.com.
Angelic Sound Healing by Amazon's bestseller Ted Winslow. Experience the healing tones of these divine frequencies as you call upon your angels. Transcend yourself into the angelic realm and let your spirit soar to the sensation of theta binaural beats. Now available on Amazon and iTunes, Angelic Sound Healing by Ted Winslow.
Welcome back, everyone. We have a special guest today, Mario Redding. He is author of Nostradamus, The Complete Prophecies for the Future. Mario, I have so many questions. 1 hour is not going to be enough time, but hopefully this show will inspire people to read more of the information you have in your books about Nostradamus. And you have an upcoming documentary on the History Channel. Could you tell us a little bit about that? And then we're going to dive into some predictions.
Yeah, the History Channel documentary, I think they filmed me late last year, and I gather it's very close to being finished and is due to be shown in either May or June of this year. So I'm waiting to hear now. It's going to be very exciting. I think they're featuring me a great deal, which is very kind of them. And I can't wait to see what they come up with.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. I've already checked the History Channel's programming, and they only show it 2 weeks at a time. So I haven't seen it on the schedule yet, but I'm sure the listeners will also be interested because this is such a timeless topic. You know, Nostradamus, his predictions. And I love the fact that you told us in the first segment that you kind of took a leap out there and you put down dates and information and the way you've translated a lot of his quatrains. I don't know if I've even pronounced that correctly, but could you tell us? Go ahead.
You pronounced it beautifully, Christina. Quatrains is exactly right.
Okay, well, good, because I didn't take French in school. So anyway, Mario, could you tell us a little bit about maybe three or four predictions that you had brought up prior to 2015, and either if they did come true or if they didn't, just to give people a little taste of the foundation you laid, and then I wouldn't talk about present time.
Yeah, there was one quatrain about Aung San Suu Kyi, which is the wonderful lady in Burma, that predicted that she would be a captive of the female sex and will be held in Burma, and that certainly happened. There's the tsunami quatrain, which is quite extraordinary, the terrible tsunami which happened on 26th of December 2004. And Nostradamus writes, when fish, both land and sea-based, are thrown on shore by strong waves, their strangely smooth yet horrifying appearance will make of the twisted walls our enemy. And anyone who's seen the pictures of that tsunami with the walls of water coming towards the shore will recognize that, I think, from Nostradamus's description. One of the other ones, which was very, very good, I got the date wrong. I called it 2028, but actually it was 2008. And that is the world crisis, the financial crisis. Nostradamus brilliantly describes it, the financial meltdown, the credit crunch. He says, fake versions of gold and silver multiply such that after the abduction, they're thrown into the lake. On their rediscovery, global exhaustion and trouble, all debts avoided. So I got this date wrong in my original Complete Prophecies of the Future by 20 years, but boy, Nostradamus got it right. I think it's an extraordinary prophecy.
That is. And, you know, I know that one thing that spurred my interest with this book is that you talked about Hillary Clinton and you talked about the Nostradamus prophecy. Now, some say Hillary Clinton has made a deal with God to be the next president, and some say that she's, you know, not ordained by God, but made a deal with the devil. And there, she's a very polarizing public figure. There's a lot of information coming out, especially here in the States, about things that she had taken the liberty to do above the law while she was Secretary of State. And the question I have for you is, will you tell us a little bit about his prophecy for Hillary Clinton and then what your interpretation is?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I'm not an American, so I'm going to be very cautious here about Mrs. Clinton. But I had the prophecy in my 2006 book, which meant that I wrote it in 2005, which is 10 years ago. And the prophecy is dated 2015, and it's called Hillary Clinton. It's all there. And the prophecy says the masculine woman will exert herself to the north. She will annoy nearly all of Europe and the rest of the world. Two failures will put her in such an imbalance that both life and death will strengthen Eastern Europe. And now, if you listen to that, I mean, it is quite extraordinary. When it says the masculine woman, Nostradamus would mean not that Hillary Clinton is masculine, but that she's taking a role that would normally be that of a man. And obviously, potentially president of the United States, which has only ever been held by men, would qualify for that. The actual prediction, as I wrote it, is Hillary Rodham Clinton will be 68 years old in 2015, the index date of this quatrain, and quite possibly well on her way to standing as the Democratic candidate for the 2016 U.S. presidency. During Roman times, Pannonia, which is mentioned in the quatrain, was a tribal area in Eastern Europe, which covers pretty much Austria, Greece, former Yugoslavia, Hungary, Bulgaria, Albania, and even parts of Turkey. In other words, parts of the world that are at the moment in crisis after Mr. Putin's annexation of the Crimea and the problems in Ukraine, we know that those problems aren't going away and will be on the table for whoever becomes the next U.S. president. The implication of this quatrain is that the Americans, under Mrs. Clinton, intervene in Europe. And I say here that the same powder keg that has been exploding ever since the Pannons were a thorn in the side of their Roman masters explodes yet again, this time in response to a different form of imperialism. So my summary is that should Hillary Clinton become the first ever female president of the United States, she will proceed to alienate much of Eastern Europe, and the United States' imperial ambitions become suspect. Now, that is my reading of what Nostradamus is saying. It may not happen, but so far it's come true.
Well, and there's a lot of people, you know, here in the States, Mario, that they love the idea of a woman president, but they're tired of the Bush-Clinton. You can't really tell the difference between the two presidential dynasties that they're creating. And, you know, a lot of people are pushing back against the 1% or the elite that are ruling the world. And a lot of people feel that Hillary Clinton is part of that. And did you see anything in the Nostradamus prediction or the quatrains about the 99% pushing back against the 1% or the people wanting more freedom? And, you know, and you talked about the Roman Empire, and, you know, a lot of people feel oppressed by corporations, banking, the elite ruling class. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, you put it very well indeed. Nostradamus was all about elites. He lived at a time when royalty ruled, and kingdoms were passed down from father to son, by and large. In the case of England, we did have a queen, but in fact, we had two queens. We had Queen Mary and then followed by Queen Elizabeth. That was quite extraordinary and quite exceptional. By and large, in the world, it was from father to son and father to son, and you couldn't shake it. This went on for century after century. And even though you in the United States are a republic, we who watch you from across the Atlantic see these great families appearing again and again. We see the Bushes. We're on to the third generation now, with Jeb Bush potentially taking the Republican ticket. And we see Mrs. Clinton, whose husband has already been president for two periods. I mean, if that's not a dynasty, as you say, I don't know what is.
Exactly. And, you know, I think a lot of people are wanting to see the truth now, and they're ready to see the truth. And a lot say that the Roman Empire just rebranded as the Catholic Church, and, you know, that there are these ruling class families that can, through bloodline, can go back into, you know, 2,000 year history, that have always been in power in some way. And so, do you see anything in your work with Nostradamus that will shift in our lifetime?
Well, Nostradamus does suggest that there will be a major world war, but not quite yet. His dates are around about 2070. So it'll be in the lifetime of very young people who are on the planet now, but for me, I'm not going to get anywhere near it. But that appears to be a major world war between the person that he calls the third Antichrist and, if you like, the Western powers. But before that, all sorts of things happen. But he's more interested, or seems to be, in ecological dangers. In my book, the next problems we have are three quatrains specifically dated 2016 and 2017, which deal with the sequence of ecological disasters. And when we look about what's just happened in Nepal, and then we look back a few years to New Orleans and the tsunami, these ecological disasters are happening more and more. So I think that they will run in parallel to the other things we were talking about, the dynasties, whatever. And that Nostradamus is taking that very seriously indeed. He also takes very seriously the Muslim threat, unfortunately, which we've seen recently with the rise of ISIS, or the Daesh, as they're called by people in the know.
So when, and I love in your book, and I love your table of contents, Mario, because you can look it up by the year, and then he has information on, like, Hillary Clinton, and he has the page number. I mean, I love that reference book you've created. It's wonderful, actually, because so many times, you know, you want to check back a year later. Oh, I thought I read something about that. You see it in the news, and you said, oh, look at that. You know, and it's very interesting and comprehensive, because you even go up to, let's see, the year 7074. So you've given us a lot of information. And let's talk a little bit about what's coming up in maybe the next 5 years that really are standing out in your mind. You talked a little bit about the ecological disasters coming. Do you have any regions that people might want to be aware of, or was it more of in a global sense?
No, the ecological disasters, I think there is a very specific one. Let me see here. This is, I'm looking for one. Yes, the second of the ecological disasters looks like it's talking about a massive flood is threatened in the Aegean area, i.e. round about Italy. And it'll be catastrophic. That is very specific, and that's dated 2016. So there, that is pretty specific. We also have some scandals in the Roman Catholic Church around about 2017. Nothing new there. That may be a pretty old hat. There are three questions yeah. of that. But what is specific and would interest, I think, American listeners is that in 2017, we have a quatrain called Islamic Terrorism. And it looks like a Muslim attack or an attack by ISIS or whatever, or Al-Qaeda, on a U.S. naval base, possibly under Arab control. And as we know, there are an awful lot of U.S. naval bases around the Gulf, and also in Djibouti. There's Port Le Monnier, Camp Le Monnier. So any one of those could be in danger. Yes, that would appear to be pretty specific.
Now, do you see anything in the future predictions that, you know, a lot of people talk about the astrology of 1776 when, you know, America gained independence? And is there any type of, did Nostradamus look at any of that type of like astrological influence, or was it based on just the information he was receiving during his scrying sessions?
No, he was interested in astrology, but he largely kept that for what he called his almanacs. And his almanacs were published up to three or four times a year during his lifetime. And they dealt with pretty much the here and now and what was going to happen in the near future. So his astrological readings tended to be for his contemporaries. They didn't look hundreds of years into the future, which the prophecies do. So I would say, by and large, even though some of the prophecies contain astrological readings, his real astrological interest was in what happened around about his own time.
Well, and I know that you brought up in your book, you talked about the Islamic threat in France and how that can, that he saw some things. I would like to hear from you, you know, what you interpreted that information, because from the information I've received, Mario, from across, you know, with the government propaganda media, unfortunately, but what I've come to understand is the large Islamic unemployed immigrants from the different Arab nations that are in France haven't been assimilating, and that there's been some civil unrest. Do you have any information on that?
Well, curiously enough, actually, the Muslims in France have integrated pretty well, by and
Interesting.
Large. France mm-hmm. is a secular country. They're very strict. Headscarves aren't allowed and all sorts of things that would not happen in other countries. In the UK, of course, all that is allowed. In France, no. There's almost forcible integration. Most of the Islamic people that I know in France speak French, and they feel French. You're always going to get a small minority who will not and never will integrate because they have a vested interest in not doing so. But by and large, I think France is a pretty good. I mean, if you think France used to was a colonial power in Tunisia, Algeria, Morocco, they have a long-standing historical link with Islamic countries, and they have every vested interest in keeping that going. So I think France is actually, by and large, a pretty good. Integrated country. And yet you have the Charlie Hebdo attack of the 7th of January 2015. One of Nostradamus' prophecies appears to suggest that one. I got the date wrong. I said 2018. It was 2015. But this is an interesting quatrain. It says, because of French carelessness and misunderstanding, the Mohammedans will find a way in. Blood will soak the Seine, that's the river that runs through Paris, by land and sea, the Fascensian port will fill with sails and vessels. And so that, to me, is a pretty clear link to the Charlie Hebdo attack in January 2015. I got the date 3 years wrong.
Well, and we all know now that time can change. You know, we have a free will society, so we can change the course. And but that is really fascinating. That sounds right on the money to me, Mario, of what happened in France. So we have a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more to Mario Redding, author of a fabulous book that I highly recommend, Nostradamus, The Complete Prophecies for the Future.
When it comes to publishing, there is a difference. At Big Country Publishing, they work with you on a personal level to create a custom publishing package that's tailored to your needs as an author. Their design team and experts in the industry will contribute to you to create the book that you've always dreamed of. Isn't it time to go big? Contact them today at www.bigcountrypublishing.com.
Do you feel stuck? Do you feel empty or lost? Have you tried to clear what's not working from your life but have the same issues coming up over and over? There is hope. A heart and soul healing session can retrieve your soul and heal your heart so you can feel love, joy, peace, and abundance. Contact Claudia McNeely today at www.askclaudia.com and feel better now.
Hello, my name is Ted Winslow. And as a professional singer, songwriter, musician, and audio engineer, I have worked with voice coaching for many years. I created a new CD, Vocalist Scales and Intervals, for my clients who were looking for an easy and affordable way to improve the quality of their voice. So, if you're in broadcasting, public speaking, or in the music industry, you'll benefit from the voice exercises. Just load it into your MP3 player and you're ready to go. Vocalist Scales and Intervals by Ted Winslow is now available on iTunes, Amazon, and BigCountryPublishing.com.
We are having such a fascinating conversation today about Nostradamus with one of the world-renowned experts, Mario Redding. Mario, you've given us a lot of information today about Nostradamus as the man and about a lot of the prophecies. Let's jump ahead a bit. Before we talk about some of the ending of your book and the end times, I do have a question for you. It does look like there's going to be quite a few U.S. versus China power struggles, you know, in the future that our children, our grandchildren, and our great-grandchildren will be experiencing. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes, China doesn't appear a great deal in Nostradamus's quatrains. There's one here, which is called U.S.-Chinese False Dawn, which is dated, I date it 2055 because of Nostradamus's 55 index dates. And that one appears to be about a pact between the United States and China, and it stays fragile. So Nostradamus is really warning there what would happen if it actually fails. What Nostradamus really seems to work on is Islam. He's particularly interested in that. And I mean, there are a sequence of quatrains in 2055, which is a long way ahead. I know it's 40 years ahead, but an awful lot of people who are alive now will be experiencing this. And these are Islam Disturbs the Balance of World Power. There are a number of those. Leading up to the major war, which comes around about 2070, as I said, after a worldwide epidemic in 2062. That doesn't sound too good either. So the 2070 global war sounds like the major thing, but the world appears to survive it because Nostradamus has a few last quatrains which follow that.
And so if you were writing information, you know, as we grow older, Mario, and we think about future generations, and you were going to give future generations advice from what you've seen with your research with Nostradamus and what he predicted for the future, what would you pass along? What little tidbits for them to be aware of?
Well, in a way, you were talking about China and the U.S., which inevitably with your Pacific coast is very significant. And here I found another quatrain in 2089, which actually says it's one of the positive quatrains. The U.S. and China see eye to eye. And the summary is their confidence shaken by the long-term fallout from the global war of 2070. The new leaders of the United States and China offer each other the hand of friendship. Peace reigns for a while. So Nostradamus is optimistic, and he does feel that kings and presidents and leaders can deal with each other, and if only they would, that great wars could be avoided. And so I would really say that Nostradamus's message is not that the world is going to enter conflagration and hell and whatever, but that it is capable of avoiding that if people are right-minded and work for the best of their country. So, yes.
Well, I think there a lot of us are raising children differently now and looking at a global community and understanding and education and cultural tolerance in a way that the past generations haven't. And hopefully we can make some course corrections along the way so it doesn't have to turn into a doom and gloom future. Now, Mario, there are a lot of people right now making a lot of money saying, go buy your gold, get in your bomb shelter. It's the end times. And according to Nostradamus, right now, we are not in the end times. Could you talk a little bit about what he predicted as the end of humanity or the end times?
Yes, we're nowhere near the end times. I mean, the amount of fuss that went on, I believe, in 1999, nothing to do with Nostradamus. A lot of people felt that that was going to be the end of the world. And then there was the talk in 2012 of the Mayan Great Change. Well, that was going to be the end of the world. The fact is, the world seems to stagger onwards with goodwill and whatever. And Nostradamus actually dates the his final prophecy to 7,074, which is quite a time. It's more than 5,000 years away. And there he says, when the great number 7 completes itself, games will begin at the tombside, not far from the turn of the millennium. The dead will rise out of their graves. Well, the dead rising out of their graves is an old symbol. Anyone who's seen any of the great doom paintings see the dead two by two climbing out of their graves and moving up to heaven, and there being taken in by God. That's if they've behaved well in this life. Depends what you believe, if you still believe in heaven and hell. So Nostradamus very much thinks that the earth is going to continue for quite a while yet. I think we can relax on that score.
Well, that's good to know. So we can be wonderful stewards of the earth now to keep it healthy for another 5,000 years at least to come. So hopefully that message will be heard throughout the world so we can really, you know, hand off future generations a better place than we were born into. So Mario, really quick, did Nostradamus believe in aliens, ETs, angels, anything like that?
That's a fascinating one. I've never encountered an alien quatrain, but certainly he believed in angels. I think it's as any good Catholic, which Nostradamus was, he was actually buried in a Catholic abbey, so they wouldn't have let him be buried there if he wasn't a practicing Catholic at his death. He would have believed in angels, yes, and he certainly believed in God. He didn't believe that he was chosen by God for any particular purpose. He simply believed that he was allowed, let's say if there's a curtain between the present and the future, and there's a tiny little tear in that curtain. Nostradamus believed that he was allowed to maybe step up a little bit close to the tear and just look through very briefly and maybe see things that other people couldn't see.
Well, that is just one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show, because Mario, I feel like that is you. You know, you see just a little bit of that unseen. You look in places in the Nostradamus quatrains and history, and with your skills in translation and the information that you compile to help us understand things a little bit better. And it's been such a pleasure to have you on the show today. You are such an amazing man.
Christina, that's one of the nicest things anyone's ever said to me. Thank you very much indeed for it. It's really sweet of you.
Well, Mario, I'm going to watch your special on the History Channel that will be either airing in May of this year or June of 2015. And let me ask you this before we close the show. What's next for you, Mario?
Well, I write novels, so I have a deadline in June for the third of my John Hart series of novels, and I still got 25,000 words to write between now and the end of June, so I've got quite a busy time. So that's really what I do at the moment. I'm looking forward to the publication of the new edition of my Nostradamus Complete Prophecies of the Future. And also my dream dictionary is going to come out again, which I'm really looking forward to, too. So, yes, quite a busy time, really.
Well, that's wonderful. If people would like to find out more information about you, and you have too many books to even mention on the brief interview that we talked about today, how can they get in touch with you, Mario?
Well, I think I have a Facebook writer site. I think it's Mario Redding Writer. I have a website. If anyone types in Mario Redding on the net, on Google, they're going to get an awful lot of stuff coming up. Most of it dubious, but I'm sure they can find their way through. They can leave messages on my Facebook site or on the website, and I'm delighted to answer them.
So, Mario, just for fun, did you ever try like what Nostradamus did with the nutmeg and the scrying?
You know, I was awfully tempted, but I reckon I would leave it to the professionals.
You know, I always wonder about you great researchers and historians, if you ever see something that, you know, makes you wonder, huh, I wonder what that was like. And since you have such a thirst for knowledge, I had to ask.
You may have put an idea in my head. I might just do it.
Well, you're going to have to let us know if you do, because we'd love to hear about it. Well, Mario, this has been such a pleasure. And I want again to thank you and to thank all the listeners. We hope you've enjoyed this journey, Mario. We'd love to have you back sometime and talk about your dreams book. Can you tell us just a tidbit about that? I'd love to hear a little teaser, because I am very fascinated with information and dreams.
I spent a year of my life writing a book about dreams, an A to Z of dreams. Everything from Freud, Jung, folks, tales, everything I could find out about dreams. It came out a few years ago. I think it was called The Watkins Dictionary of Dreams, which is not the most catchy title, as you probably imagine. And I think they've realized that, and they're going to bring it out now under another title. And I'm going to have another go at it, so I'm going to really enjoy that. And that'll probably come out, I should think, next year.
Well, I'm looking forward to that, and it's been such a pleasure. Check out Mario Redding's Facebook page, for aspiring writers. I'm sure would love to connect with you, Mario. And his latest book, which we've just had a real pleasure talking about today, is Nostradamus, The Complete Prophecies for the Future. Mario, thank you so much. Good luck to you in all of your endeavors. And thank you to the audience for sharing this time with us.
Thank you for tuning in this week to Reach For It Radio. Please join your host, Christina Winslow, live each Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern on BBS Radio. Listen live or listen later. Subscribe for free on iTunes or Stitcher. Or connect with us on reachforitradio.com.